2010. I'm Brian Edwards Tiegert, and welcome to what may be the last morning show.
And I'm Amy Allison, and we come to you this morning with a very heavy heart. Yesterday, the Pacifica Foundation canceled the morning show and fired the entire staff and EKPFA's ability to serve the local community. And we've been here for you. From news to politics to culture, the KPFA staff has been here every morning for decades. It's been my utter honor to serve the community for the last 3 years here and to bring the Winter Soldier testimony to the American people 2 years ago. Now, you can reach me via oaklandscene.com or amyallison.org, but we're here today to continue the conversation of how we got there and what the community can do.
So we are, as our intention, we will be holding a broad forum this morning about how KPFA got where it is, where it might go in the future. We have some excellent guests lined up. In case we're not on the air for very long, our union is posting information online at www.kpfaworker.org. Some independent groups are planning a protest in front of KPFA studios at 11 a.m. today. We will be right back talking with Pacifica historian Matthew Lazar and then taking your calls after these news headlines with Eileen Alfandary. Eileen, you there?
I am, Brian. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. And the KPFA studios are filled this morning, much busier than they normally are on a morning at 7 a.m. The Pacifica Executive Director, Arlene Engelhart, is in the studios, as is the Chief Financial Officer, LaVarne William, our Interim General Manager, Ahmad Anderson, and many others. If Arlene Engelhart returns into the control room where I am and she would care to engage in an interview, we will be happy to have her on. Arlene has actually come into the studios, and perhaps she would like to join us live on the mic here this morning, a rather unorthodox beginning to KPFA's morning show. Arlene, you're here at the KPFA studios. Perhaps you can tell us what's going on here this morning.
I'd be glad to. You know, there are great concerns about how we're going to keep this station going, being that the station lost $1 million last year, or year before this. The year that just ended lost almost $500,000, and is heading into this year unable to make its payroll. We've managed to help you borrow money in order to make payroll and keep the benefits going the last couple of pay periods, and that can't keep going. We don't have the kind of money that we can cover a payroll that is way beyond what you're bringing in an income.
So what I hear you saying is KPFA is in dire financial straits.
KPFA is
so
in dire financial straits.
Why lay off the entire staff of the morning show, which is the most successful fundraising program on the air, and in particular the staff, Amy Allison, Brian Edwards Tiegert, Laura Priebus, although I understand there's some confusion about whether
I don't believe that Laura is laid off.
Laid off, although she got a layoff letter, as far as I know, she didn't have that rescinded. I want to take a minute and ask you why that staff, Brian Edwards Tiegert actually, raises more money single-handedly than any other programmer on KPFA. So why a layoff? A layoff of the morning show?
The layoff was done according to union contract, which says according to seniority.
Actually,
and
we have our one of our union stewards, Philip Muldery. I think I saw him in the studio. And Philip, on this rather unorthodox beginning to KPFA's morning show, perhaps will join us here at the mic.
Let's get him in here. But let me finish what I was saying, Eileen. Since you have been giving such one-sided news over the last several weeks and haven't even asked for my input about what's going on at KPFA,
well,
you've been presenting the other side. But none of this. Let me tell you that we looked at the interviewers on the air, and Brian has the least seniority of those people. So consequently, that was why he was laid off. In terms of production people, most of the actual engineering type production people have not been touched. We do not intend to change the basic lineup of KPFA programming. There will be a live, local KPFA morning show. It will
like
be hosted.
I'd like to get back to that in just a minute about what that
well, I like
will be. And excuse
LaVarne,
me,
why don't you get into
Philip
this and
Muldery
talk just a little bit about the...
Eileen, let me try to explain the contract.
Yes,
I'm a steward here at KPFA, and as a steward, I know the contract inside out. this was totally done in violation of the contract. The contract stipulates that in times of economic crisis, you can eliminate positions from the payroll. Now, what happened here was not eliminating positions, eliminating people. So you can decide that a position is going to be eliminated and no one is going to fill it. The person currently in that position that was eliminated gets to exercise their seniority and bump someone who is less senior. None of that procedure was conducted here. Instead, the stewards yesterday were handed a list of three names of people, not positions, that were eliminated. You cannot eliminate the people doing the morning show without...
Excuse me, but seniority is not based on people. On positions. Seniority is...
We're going to let Philip finish his...
And I'm interrupting you right now.
She's cut it off.
So in fact, if you're going to eliminate the positions of the morning show, then there is no morning show. So they've done, even though they claim that they're going to bring back some kind of morning show. I just can't imagine how they can do that without any people to staff it.
This is LaVarne Williams. Good morning, listeners.
Let's hang on just a minute here. I want to let people know what's going on here this morning, and then LaVarne and I will get right to you. You are listening to an unorthodox KPFA morning show in the wake of layoff notices that were given to the entire staff of the morning show. Brian Edwards-Tiekert, Amy Allison, Laura Privis. We've since been told that Laura Privis's has been rescinded. So we have in the studios with us this morning Philip Muldery, who's one of the union stewards, Arlene Engelhard, who's the executive director of Pacifica, and LaVarne Williams. And we'll now go to you, LaVarne, who's the chief financial officer of Pacifica.
Good morning, listeners. I would like to say that this is a bit unorthodox, and we appreciate you hanging in for this. And this is something that we certainly would not, we don't think is really good radio. And I apologize as an officer of the Pacifica Foundation, and that we would like to, what we're doing here at KPFA, KPFA lost $1 million audited reports from the prior year. This year, the year ending 2010, September the 30th, they're expected to lose another $500,000. These steps have to be taken in terms of reducing staff. Now, the other stations in this network, they reduced their staff 2 years ago. This was done at the direction of the people who were in control of the foundation at the time. Brian Edwards-Tiekert was the treasurer of KPFA, and he was acting as treasurer for the foundation. And at that point, during that time, those layoffs were taken by these other stations. KPFA didn't do it. And what resulted is that a loss of $1 million this past, at the prior year, ended in 2009, a loss of at least $500,000 ended in 2010. These actions needed to be taken. Some staff actually did take a package that was not enough to reduce the cost. As Arlene Engelhard, our executive director, as she said, these reductions were done based on seniority. We had union discussions back in April. We talked about the fact that these reductions must be done for the workforce at KPFA. The union stressed that we do it on seniority. I totally agreed. We have gone through negotiations with the KPFA staff since that time based on reductions. I have always stated, as they all know, that it must be done on seniority. There were other plans that were presented by KPFA management that did not stick to seniority. What they wanted to do was reduce or cut certain programs, and that was not allowed. During this time, over the two-year period, when these reductions were supposed to take place at KPFA, the reductions that the staff at KPFA, which include the people who were in Brian Edwards-Tiekert and his role as consultant to the station manager at the time, their suggestions were always based on programs, not on seniority.
Okay,
we have an executive director who is sticking to...
Okay,
let me just finish. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Eileen.
I appreciate it. I appreciate that, Eileen. So our executive director made these cuts based on seniority, and that's what it's based on. And it's based on keeping KPFA and the foundation alive and whole. And we appreciate the support from the listeners, and we appreciate the fact that this is the one time that we have been able to state that what you're hearing on the air has not been truthful.
Okay. Let me explain what's absolutely wrong about
and
what Laverne is saying.
Again, let's let our listeners know you've just been hearing from Laverne Williams, who's the chief financial officer of Pacifica Radio, also in the studios for an unorthodox edition of the morning show this morning is Arlene Engelhardt, Pacifica's executive director. We're about to hear from Philip Muldery, who's a union steward, and then we are going to kick it upstairs to Brian Edwards-Tiekert and Amy Allison. Brian's name has been mentioned a few times now, and I think we need to get them in on the conversation. So, Philip?
So what is totally wrong about that interpretation of the contract is that the contract does stipulate seniority, but it says that positions, in time of financial crisis, positions are eliminated, positions that the station can do without. Now, people in those positions, if they are more senior, they can exercise their seniority and bump people who are less senior. So if someone more senior is qualified to host the morning show, and if their position is eliminated, they could bump either of the morning show hosts if they were more senior. So that's how the contract works. It works with seniority. But again, you eliminate positions. You don't eliminate people. So if, in fact, it's decided that you don't want a morning show, then you eliminate all the positions of the morning show. You can't bring them back without bringing back the people in them. So they have eliminated all the positions of the morning show, and consequently, they can't bring anybody back. This is a total violation of the contract. Our local of Communication Workers of America, 9415, is already suing before the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board. This is not going to be allowed to pass. We are going to resist it. And we're resisting all layoffs here at KPFA currently. We've had over five people take a voluntary layoff, making great personal sacrifice. We have reduced the payroll considerably over the past year. There were a round of layoffs earlier this year, partial layoffs. And what's being done now is ignoring a sustainable budget proposal brought to the Pacifica National Board by the local station board, which passed it, and the staff here at KPFA, a sustainable budget which would have allowed us to continue solvently keeping the station on the air with minimal layoffs. They've rejected all of the suggestions, including the idea that the Pacifica National Office should actually pay rent for the building they occupy next door to KPFA, owned by KPFA. They haven't paid rent in 10 years.
Okay, we are going to take this up to Amy Allison and Brian Edwards-Tiekert, who are standing by. They've been talked about here this morning. I think we need to hear from them. Again, we are going to sum up what's happening here. This is an unorthodox edition of the KPFA Morning Show coming on the day after Arlene Engelhardt laid off the entire staff of the morning show. Here's Brian Edwards-Tiekert and Amy Allison.
Well, thanks, Eileen. It's good to hear Arlene Engelhardt's voice. She was not in the station when a subordinate of hers handed layoff notices to those of us who work on the morning show, so we didn't have a chance to ask her what she was doing or when we would have a chance to discuss our seniority rights under the union contract, and the manager she had execute those layoffs did not know the answers to any of our questions. Our intention this hour, at least for as long as we're on the air, is to have a broad-ranging forum about how KPFA got where it is today, where its most listened to and most significant fundraiser is being taken off the air and all of its staff laid off at the time when the station is in financial crisis. We're going to be inviting your calls in just a few minutes on our listener call line at 510-848-4425. But we'll begin our conversation this morning with someone who's written two books about the tortured history of Pacifica Radio and KPFA in particular. His name is Matthew Lazar. Good morning, Matthew. Matthew, are you with us? Okay, well, while we try to get Matthew Lazar back on the line, I will repeat that you are listening to KPFA, KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, or online at www.kpfa.org. I'm Brian Edwards-Tiegert. My co-host Amy Allison is with me. She has just stepped into the hallway to talk to some of the members of the press who've been gathering in the studios of KPFA this morning. And again, our union is posting updates on the situation here at KPFA at kpfaworker.org. The situation, as we know it now, is that every single staff member working on the morning show has been laid off by national management at Pacifica National, though they've not talked to us directly. Pacifica Executive Director Arlene Engelhardt is presumed to be responsible for the cuts. She was just downstairs in KPFA's studio talking to our news producer, Eileen Alfandari. She did say over the air that our executive producer had had her layoff rescinded, which we're not clear on. She's certainly not been giving anything in writing, and it's less than 24 hours before she was laid off in the first place. If you're out there and you have something to say about what it should take to get a flagging community radio station back on its feet during economic hard times, what kind of level of accountability you would like from the leaders of a nonprofit foundation that relies on the donations of listeners to support it, then we'd like to hear from you at 510-848-4425. That's 510-848-4425. We'll also be taking emails at morningshow@kpfa.org. And there are avenues for sending feedback to the powers that be at KPFA and Pacifica at kpfaworker.org. We're now joined by Pacifica historian Matthew Lazar, whom it sounds like we just lost. Well, it is an unorthodox morning here at the KPFA Morning Show. I unfortunately am starting to run out of things to say. So, Eileen Alfandari, if you are still down in the KPFA broadcast studio.
I am, and I am joined by Philip Muldery, who is one of the union stewards at KPFA, Mitch Zesherich, the host of Letters to Washington. And again, let's recap what's going on here today. Yesterday, the entire staff of the morning show, that is to say, Laura Privis, the executive director, Brian Edwards-Tiegert, the morning show host, Amy Allison, the other morning show host, received layoff notices, and they were told, or we were told, that programming from KPFK was supposed to replace the morning show this morning. So that's where we're at right now. I should also say I have seen that there is a rally called for 11 a.m. this morning. There is more information available on kpfaworker.org. And here in the studios, Philip Muldery and Mitch Jezerich, and you'll let us know what's happening with the phone calls again on this unorthodox edition of KPFA's morning show today. Mitch?
Well, Eileen, I just want to say how disappointed I am. And of course, as I say this, Arlene Engelhardt is right behind me, so she may bust in on my microphone any moment, as she has been doing this morning. But I want to express how disappointed I am. We all know that the morning show is a show that brings in the most money at KPFA. And I believe this is a move not just against the morning show, but against the rest of the paid programmers here at the station, because it is the morning show that not only was able to pay for itself, but raised far enough money to help subsidize everything else that we are doing here at KPFA. And so when you go and you take off that show and you take off the people that have been working so hard, even behind the scenes, many people don't understand that it's the producers of the morning show that find all the premium gifts that we offer to folks during our fund drives and really do all of the legwork. So I see this as an affront on all paid programmers here at KPFA. I think once you take off the morning show, which brought in a couple of $100,000, I believe, a year extra, which again helps subsidize so many other things that we do here, that we aren't going to be able to pay for everything else here anymore. And so I'm deeply saddened by this move.
And actually, I'd like to invite Arlene back onto the microphone. Arlene, you had said earlier that there were plans that you had for the morning show. Perhaps you could tell us why you decided to pipe KPFK into... I'm sorry, Arlene. We'll, looks like we'll have to get back to you in just a minute. I'm being told that the Christina Huggins, the representative from the CWA local that represents the KPFA staff, is now joining us on the air. Christina?
Good morning. I've been listening to the show since it started, and I just wanted to clarify something that both Arlene and Laverne said that was completely inaccurate, and that's that this layoff is totally against the contract. That they have violated the contract, the manner in which this layoff has been conducted. I attempted to reach Arlene yesterday by cell phone. She never called me back. I called up the general manager, who is the interim general manager. He was unable to answer very basic questions, such as, why did you choose these three people? Why did you not allow them to exercise their bumping rights? Etc. And unfortunately, I still have not heard back from Arlene. And I actually was at the bargaining table for the last several contracts, so I'm very aware of how the contract should go. And this is in complete and total violation of the contract, as Philip was saying, who's been around for a very long time and understands the contract inside out. So I just want to clarify, what was done is against the contract. We have already taken out a board charge against Arlene Engelhardt, the executive director. We will be filing another board charge today for them violating the contract and not this seniority rights that they keep saying that they're honoring. They are not honoring seniority rights. They are not doing anything in an appropriate manner, and they are not communicating with the union in a transparent manner. The interesting part of this to me also is that the email that we received a while ago had these very same three names on the list, and it just appears to be retaliation. It appears to be discriminatory treatment. So we will be filing grievances. We will be filing board charges.
Christina, I'd like to ask you to remain on the line since you said you tried to reach Arlene yesterday and were unable to. She's here in the studios, and so we'd like to help facilitate that conversation. Arlene?
I am here in the studio, and as we said earlier, this station is not operating in a fiscally sound manner. You cannot keep staff on board when you can't meet your payroll. And that's what's happening at this station. For 2 years, people here have resisted any kind of layoffs, any kind of cutbacks. You talk about cutbacks that happened over the last year. The difference in full-time equivalents, and I think most people know what that means, between the payroll a year ago and at the end of September is less than one. That's a very small difference, and that does not account for $500,000. There's no one in this organization that is making anywhere near that kind of money.
On the subject of money, Arlene, I know this has come up a few times. As a nonprofit organization that operates in the public interest, you will be required to disclose your salary.
I will be happy to tell you what I make. I make $90,000 a year, which, believe me, is a very low figure for the kind of job that I do and compared to other people in this community. In fact, I heard you, I believe it was you, it was someone on the KPFA News, talking about the nurses in Oakland that weren't going to go on strike over their salaries, but rather over their benefits. And the reason they weren't striking over salaries was that they were making six figures.
Pardon me. May I respond to what Arlene said?
Yes, please do, Christina.
I would say that there is nobody that would argue that KPFA is in a state of fiscal crisis, but that's obfuscation, essentially. What my point I was making is that you're in violation of the contract the way that you handled the layoffs. And in fact, there's also a slew of issues with the way Pacifica has handled the money that KPFA has raised every year. I mean, there are other stations that have been in dire financial straits that Pacifica has propped up for many, many years with myriad lawsuits. And that's a whole other kettle of wax. But let me stay on point here. What I was saying is you can say that KPFA is in financial crisis. That does not abrogate your responsibility to follow the contract in the manner in which you lay people off. And our essential position is here is that is exactly what you have done.
And the position of our attorney is that we were following the contract.
Well, your attorney.
So I have been working with our attorney on this. That's all I can say to you, Christine.
Well, he is inaccurate. I've been at three bargaining tables at this point of time. I have a deep understanding of the contract. Our attorney, who I've been talking to, and myself, and the other people who have bargained the contract who understand the way that seniority plays out, understand that
Arlene Engelhardt, Brian Edwards-Tiekert, if I could break in with a question. KPFA's interim manager, when he was handing me a layoff notice, conceded that there were multiple people still on payroll in the programming division, as I am, who are not being cut, who have less seniority than I do. When I asked him when we would have a conversation about my seniority rights and what positions I might move to, he did not know. So do you have an answer to that?
I certainly do. I'll be happy to talk to you about that. And if you choose to bump to a position different than yours, yes, there are positions in the programming position, but positions that are different than yours, you very likely, provided that you have the skills for the position, could do that. We were operating within similar positions, and in terms of interviewers at the station, you had the least seniority.
So to find out, well, first of all, that's not true. I believe Mitch Jezerich, who's sitting with you in the studio, has less seniority than I do, although I certainly wouldn't want to bump his position as he does an excellent job.
Well, actually, he's not sitting here, and you are right about that. And we were taking the position, and I will take the position, that he has a unique set of skills based on his background in Washington. And so consequently, that was the reason that we chose to keep that particular...
Arlene, the question I have is why we have to ask you on the air in order to get an answer to questions like this. No one in the room when layoff notices were getting handed out yesterday had answers to any of these questions or could even say when that conversation would take place.
You could have come over to my office. You could have given me a phone call. I didn't get either of those from you, Brian.
Eileen Alfandary here. I want to sum up for listeners what's going on here this morning. You are listening to KPFA or KPFB Berkeley, KFCF Fresno. Yesterday, the morning show staff was handed layoff notices. Brian Edwards Tiekert, Amy Allison, Laura Privis. Laura was since told verbally, I don't believe in writing, that her layoff had been rescinded. The other morning show producer, Esther Mania, has taken a voluntary layoff. Arlene, I guess what you had in mind for today was to pipe in programming from KPFK. Now, why pipe programming from Los Angeles to a Bay Area audience?
Because I don't honestly consider a program like we're having this morning, as much as we need to tell the listeners what's going on, I don't really consider this very good radio. If I were a listener, I'd be thinking, okay, I've gotten a few answers. My God, when are you going to give me some honest-to-goodness radio? And I don't think that's what we're doing, and so I do apologize to the listeners for that. I also would like to express my thanks to the staff who have decided to take voluntary layoffs. We made a generous offer. We gave, I think, generous packages, particularly considering what's going on in this country today in the work world. It saddens me every time I walk down the street and see homeless people, every time I encounter people who can't find jobs. There's nothing I'd like to do more than be able to create all kinds of jobs for people, but unfortunately, it takes money to do that. And so for those people who are taking voluntary layoffs with the package that was offered with those, and there are, by the way, seven of those people, I do want to say a very hearty thank you. And thank you for being in a position to and for stepping up to help protect your station.
Eileen, we think we finally do have Matthew Lazar on the line, so we can continue with our segment. And thank you for holding it down from KPFA's on-air studio there, and we will be returning to you at the top of the hour. At this point, we want to open up the conversation.
Brian, let me just jump in and say, for people who want more information, there is information from the union perspective at kpfaworker.org, and I also understand that a rally demonstration has been called for 11 a.m. this morning outside the KPFA Pacifica Studios, 1929 Martin Luther King Jr. Way near University Avenue.
I'm not sure. We'll see.
That is the voice of Matthew Lazar. Pacifica's historian. He's authored two books about the history of this radio station and this radio network. And Matthew, you've been writing critical articles about the state of affairs in KPFA and Pacific today as we open this forum up to our listeners at 510-848-4425. I thought we would start by talking to you. And the situation that KPFA is in now has part of its roots in a struggle that took place a little over 10 years ago when KPFA staff were locked out by forces at the Pacifica National Office, locked out of their building, returned to the building by a listener movement. And the backlash triggered during that movement has, to some extent, put us on the course we're in now. Can you tell us a little bit about what came out of that backlash 10 years ago?
Well, 10 years ago, there was a self-appointed national board, was run by a prominent academic named Mary Frances Berry, and the people who were on it really saw themselves as moving the Pacifica Foundation in a direction without any input from almost anybody else. And most disturbingly, they began talking about the prospect of selling KPFA and WBAI, the two commercial license signals. They're not commercial stations, but they're on the commercial end of the FM dial. There was a enormous backlash against this. The then executive director of Pacifica, her name was Lynn Chadwick, literally shut down KPFA, and essentially caused a revolt throughout Berkeley and throughout the Pacifica organization. And when the smoke cleared from 1999 through 2001, the organization democratized itself. That is to say, it began the process of creating the elected boards, the listener, subscriber, and staff elected boards that we have now. Those boards then began being elected around 2003. Actually, KPFA's local station board was already doing elections as early as 2000. And the election process began throughout the organization. I supported that election process because I supported any tendency that would stop that old board, because I was really afraid that they were going to sell KPFA. And we began to have elected boards. Once the elected boards started materializing, it became increasingly clear, at least to me, that there were important tendencies around Pacifica Radio and certainly around KPFA that really didn't want to have any paid staff. It didn't really want to have any paid on-air staff at the station. That really wanted to go in an all-volunteer direction. To a large extent, I think that they wanted that because they saw paid staff, and they saw especially paid producers, as gatekeepers against the kind of programming that they wanted to have on Pacifica Radio.
What kind of programming is that?
Well, some of that programming was, I think, could be argued to be valuable. But a lot of it I experienced it as pretty scary. In 2004, there was a program that was broadcast in the early part of the year, a 12-hour program, actually, which included the voices of prominent cultural nationalists, ethnic cultural nationalists, who argued that AIDS doesn't exist, white people are mutants. The Egyptians built pyramids on Mars, and a variety of other interesting and creative things. I started asking around people around the station, around the various tendencies at KPFA, are we really going to broadcast things like this on an ongoing basis? Is this really where we're going to go? And what I saw was that there was actually very little resistance to that, to this kind of programming.
Matthew Lazar, I want to continue talking about this, but I want to bring into the conversation someone we have on the phone line downstairs, someone who was an integral part of that struggle 10 years ago and has also had some second thoughts about where it's taken us today. That is longtime KPFA and Pacifica broadcaster Larry Bensky, one-time general manager of this radio station, Polk Award-winning journalist for his coverage of the Iran-Contra hearings on Pacifica Radio, and longtime national affairs correspondent for Pacifica as well. Larry Bensky, good morning.
Good morning to you, Brian, and to everyone, and Matthew, hello.
Larry Bensky, the movement 10 years ago was sparked when you were pulled off the air for airing a dissenting view about what was happening at KPFA and Pacifica. You were one of the early voices calling for some kind of democratization of the governance system of Pacifica Radio. Where do you think that's gotten us today?
I think it's gotten us into an unholy mess. I think it's not a democratic process at all, these so-called elections where very few people vote. The candidates aren't vetted in any meaningful manner. We have no idea who they are, basically. And a tremendous amount of energy, time, and money is spent on a small fragment of listeners and subscribers expressing themselves on a ranked choice method ballot, which produces people who, in my experience there, and I retired, 3.5 years ago now, but in my experience with the elected national and local boards, had absolutely no knowledge of or understanding of radio broadcasting, which is, after all, what Pacifica is about.
So one of the complaints that have been coming from staff at the station as Pacifica National imposes cuts here is that the costs of the Pacifica National office, and a significant portion of those costs go into paying for the expenses of board elections, board meetings, and routine legal consultations by board members, have become unbearable for Pacifica's radio stations in a time of financial crisis. 10 years ago, you made a presentation to the then self-appointing Pacifica National board that national expenses had gotten out of control. How have you seen things change today?
Well, I wish I knew. I mean, one of our goals in that struggle 10 years ago was to have financial transparency. And I defy you right now to find anywhere on KPFA or Pacifica's website any meaningful or even unmeaningful statistics about what the finances of the stations are. I'm afraid that the people who have been in charge of the finances of KPFA and Pacifica have basically gone a long way towards, if not over the edge, of bankrupting the organization. I would like to know, for example, what the financial status of the building from which you're broadcasting is right now, what the mortgage is, how many additional loans have been taken out against it. Similarly, the property that Pacifica owns in Los Angeles. It's impossible to find out, and I spent a lot of time, as you said, 10 years ago, massaging statistics and trying to bring them out. It drove Mary Frances Berry and Lynn Chadwick crazy that somebody could do this, but of course I had been station manager. I knew how to find statistics and data on money, and I brought it out, and they didn't want that brought out. And one of our demands during the strike was that we have financial transparency. Well, for a while we had it. We were posting monthly statements of KPFA's revenue and income and expenditures, and we were doing the same on national. Now you can't find it anymore, to the point where the executive director, I gather, refuses to even disclose what her salary is. This is outrageous. This is a community organization. It should be founded on transparency and honesty. And if you don't know what your actual financial situation is, how on earth can you justify laying off anyone? And on the subject of layoffs, I just wanted to say to a point that you made about the idea of everybody not being paid at KPFA, as of course was the case of the founding years. Radio is not something that you can just do. It is fine to have volunteers on the air, and I've always supported that, and I was one myself for a long time at various times in KPFA's history. But it's the same thing I think of as when I'm doing what I do with part of my time now. I'm a writer's coach in a middle school, public school in Berkeley, and I do that 2 or 3 hours a week. Doing that, and the difference between doing that and becoming a regular English teacher who would have a class 5 days a week or 2 or 3 classes with 60, 70, 90 kids in it is a quantum leap. And people like yourself, Brian, and Amy Allison and Eileen Alfandary are people who are skilled at what they do. You're skilled at what you do because you do it with a lot of your time and energy, and you need to be paid for it, unless, of course, you're trust fund babies, which, to my knowledge, none of you is, and none of you should be. I have nothing against trust fund babies, but people have to be paid for work. That is a fundamental element of how we exist on this planet and in this culture. And if you don't pay people, you will get a tremendous variety of people, and the effect on listeners, the effect on what comes out of the radio will be an amateurization, which we already hear in many hours. There's nothing really wrong with that either. But people listen to KPFA for many reasons, one of which is to hear a program like this one produced by people like Laura Privis and Esther Mania behind the scenes, whose names aren't known at all, who are also skilled professionals at what they do. And without them and without you, there's really very little that a lot of us would choose to listen to on KPFA. So the idea that you can have an all-volunteer station and lay off everyone who knows what they're doing in favor of just opening the mic and letting anybody scream about whatever theories or prejudices or actions they have or who they pretend to be is ludicrous, and it will lead to the absolute end of KPFA. This program that we're on right now raises a again, I don't know anymore because I can't get any accurate figures, but raises a significant portion of the money that goes from listener sponsors to keep KPFA going. If you take Amy Allison and Brian Edward Steakert and Eileen Alfandary off the air, what you're doing is basically cutting your own throat. And when there's less money, then management can just say, oh, we don't have any money anymore. We have to lay off more people. So it's a vicious downward spiral. It's senseless. It makes absolutely no sense in a practical or broadcasting, or I may say political political sense. And if it isn't stopped, we're looking at the end of KPFA and Pacifica.
It's the voice of Larry Bensky. Larry, stay with us. We also have on the line Matthew Lazar, who is Pacifica's historian. And one correction to something you did say earlier, Larry. Although the first time we asked Arlene Engelhardt on the air what she earned, she refused to tell us. She did answer when Eileen Alfandary asked her this morning. She said it's $90,000 a year. The median wage for workers, union-level workers at KPFA, because most of us have been cut severely to part-time, is just under $25,000 a year currently.
Well, I never made, in all my years there, I never made more than $32,000 a year as the estimable national affairs correspondent. So, you know, put it all in perspective.
I'd like to jump in for just a moment. This is Eileen Alfandary. As far as I know, nobody has yet announced plans to lay me off, and I'd be awfully high up on that seniority list. However, I am, as everybody could well imagine, very distressed at the thought of the talented, hardworking, and revenue-generating morning show being laid off. And as a fellow worker on the morning show and union member, I am quite concerned about what appears to be an abrogation of the contract. I want to sum up for people who are tuning in this morning what we're doing, an unorthodox edition of KPFA's morning show. It comes in the wake of layoff notices handed yesterday to the entire remaining morning show staff, Laura Privis, the executive producer, Brian Edwards-Tiekert, and Amy Allison, the hosts. We have since been told verbally that Laura's layoff was rescinded. Brian?
Thanks, Eileen. We have callers on the line now who we'd like to bring into the conversation. The first is Gregory in Point Reyes. Good morning, Gregory.
Hi there. Thanks for the call. Hey, I'd like to say, as a listener for 30-plus years, this isn't actually that unorthodox for KPFA. it's actually sort of a par for the course. And, people like me who've heard it for a long time, just listen. I think that we have to remember that there's so many great things, and I think cutting this program is a huge mistake. But I also think that it's going to come down to economics. It's going to come down to economics. Am I still on?
Yeah, you're still on. I'm sorry about that. We're juggling phone lines from multiple studios right now.
I think that, you know, I make more than $90,000 a year, and I wouldn't want to be there right now at 7-something in the morning talking with everybody. And that just wouldn't be part of my job at making more than $90,000 a year. And that's a tough job, and I commend Eileen and every Arlene. And I think that people are trying to do the best here, and everyone's a little heavy-handed, and there's a lot of cotton mouth going on here, and people are nervous, but it's going to work out, and I think it's already settling, and I feel it, and I'm happy for everyone to have this dialogue, and I don't think it's a waste of time, but again, I don't think we need to say that it's that unorthodox. This is how KPFA works, and it's a really good thing, and but you know, in the next hour or two, I think it's going to pan out, it's going to get better, and everyone's going to start seeing the light more, but it's really going to be about the dollar. I'm a business owner, and I hate to say it, but it comes down to the axe.
Well, the question the KPFA staff are asking is why the only show being targeted for involuntary layoffs is the one that raises more money than any other program on KPFA. And well, there's a profit center for the station raising three times what it costs.
Well, let me just say something. As a business owner with employees, sometimes a job that I take on as a contract can be my most money-making job. But it's also the job that I'm tied into that's making the ship fall if I don't watch out what I'm doing. It's not so much about the revenue coming in. You may make a lot of money for KPFA. Let's say you made 50% of the revenue. It doesn't mean the ship doesn't have a leak and it's not sinking on the bow or stern that has to be patched.
All right.
I'll just say that as a business owner. It's really difficult to juggle it all.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Gregory. Next on the line, we have Orlando in Pleasant Hill. Orlando, are you with us?
I am. I just seem like, to me, that the management style here and what I'm hearing, and I've seen the same thing happen. I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri, and I've seen the same thing happen to a local radio station that had similar programming that you have. And basically, after a while, it seems like to me the programmer or the management, which seems very different than what the programming is all about. So it just seems like a disconnect. But ultimately, it seems like to me they want a Fox News network on the radio. And what I mean by that is it seems to me that you have individuals who are really interested in a profit line, which is why they're interested in only volunteer people. That's one thing. But two, not having individuals who are truly professional news reporters, journalists, and individuals involved in the type of reporting that you do would be a disservice to the listeners, because we have so much of that out there. And again, I liken that to Fox Radio, where Fox News Network, is, as they seem to continue to call themselves, has a number of high-profile individuals like Sean Hannity, and one of the ones that really has gotten to the point now, they can't even get, what is his name? He's a comedian as well. But these individuals proudly say they're not journalists. They're just individuals with big-time opinions. And these individuals have gone, I think it was this Beckley, at one time was a known moderate slash almost liberal. But when it came to down to being able to make money, he switched his position. He does a lot of, you know, type of news, quote-unquote news reporting. But it's really not. It's just all opinion-based stuff. So it seems like that's what they're really interested in. They're not interested in having an alternative to mainstream media that is influenced so much by big-time dollars, big-time business, who have ultimately a profit margin and want to report the news as they see it to make themselves look good, as opposed to really giving the people a real view into what's going on locally, what's going on nationally, and of course, internationally. And that's what I see here, what I'm hearing from individuals and some of the unprofessionality in the way the management team is being interrupting and the way they're talking down to the people here.
Well, thanks for that, Orlando. And I'll remind our listeners, we're having an unorthodox forum today on KPFA's airwaves. We believe this will be the last broadcast of KPFA's morning show. Our entire staff was laid off yesterday. Although there is some confusion, Pacifica's managers have been saying on our airwaves that one of those layoffs of our executive director, Laura Privis, has been rescinded. She's not yet received any paperwork on that, and it's strange to be hearing it on the air. I'm Brian Edwards-Tiekert in studios with Amy Allison, and we also have on the phone line with us Larry Bensky. If you're out there, we'd like to invite your call. We'd like to invite your perspective on where KPFA goes from here. The phone number 510-848-4425. That's 510-848-4425. Larry, you're someone who's been involved in alternative media nearly your entire lifetime. You moved out here to the San Francisco Bay Area to be involved with Ramparts Magazine. You were involved with KPFA on and off over the course of decades, both in management roles and as a journalist. You were involved with KSAN, the legendary freeform radio station that topped the charts in the 1970s in the San Francisco Bay Area. What do you think the most important values are for alternative media to be pursuing today?
That's a nice question, because I've been thinking about exactly that, because I'm supposed to be the keynote speaker at the Indie Media Conference this weekend in Oakland. Brian, you know, for me it all comes down to the ability to have people have the information they need in order to make intelligent decisions. And I'm very suspicious at the timing of what's going on with all you guys getting laid off and KPFA's one remaining broad scope journalistic program of integrity with producers and hosts like yourself and Amy being taken off the air exactly at the moment when we have a very dangerous rise of a right-wing movement in this country, which has just shown itself to be quite powerful in the elections in November. The next 2 years are going to be a critical period in the history of this country, and if KPFA and Pacifica are further weakened, and Pacifica as a network, of course, hardly exists anymore, and the stations that comprise it are extremely weak in themselves. But if those stations and that network doesn't have the ability to grow and respond to this, just as we didn't have the ability to grow and respond to the Bush administration in the years following September 11th, where we were weakened by our own internal battles and the foolish distraction of these useless elections, so-called, if we are not, and KPFA is not, a part of what has to happen as far as disseminating accurate and useful information about the rise of the right wing and hopefully the counter rise of some balanced organization on the progressive left, if KPFA and Pacifica are not there, then the ability of people to get active, to do something about what's happening in this country, will be further weakened. These are five stations which cover something like 60 or 70% of the population centers of the United States, plus the affiliates, which is another group of people, stations that's been tremendously weakened over the past few years. But with all of these radio stations, it's possible to get a counterbalanced word out there, however small the audience may be. With KPFA destroying itself internally, which is what I hear happening when the morning show is destroyed, you have one of the few places electronically that
could provide the kind of information that people are going to need and do need in this very critical period of the rise of another right-wing ignorant movement in the United States that we see happening. You're going to be able to have that happen again without people getting a counterbalance of information that you guys have provided. So for me, alternative media has always been what I dropped out of the New York Times to do, a way of providing the truth to power. And if a voice for truth, like the morning show on KPFA, is silenced in the guise of some sort of economic restructuring, which we've already said during this hour is ludicrous given the figures involved, then you've got what you've got. And I have to be very suspicious about the timing of it.
All right, Larry, it's Amy Allison. I want to say that I stepped out of the studio to talk to some press, some other press. It's good to be on the air with you. And again, this may be our last broadcast as the KPFA morning show, along with Brian Edward Steekert and Laura Privis and Esther Mania. I'm Amy Allison. If you just get in the news, the Pacifica Foundation has laid off the staff and communicated earlier they were canceling the morning show. It's unclear what the plans are right now. We're taking calls at, what's the phone number?
510-848-4425.
All right, and we're getting people's opinions. And by the way, there is a protest that some organizations have planned at 11 a.m. Here at the station.
1929 Martin Luther King Jr. Way in downtown Berkeley.
That's right. It's 4 blocks from the downtown Berkeley BART station. And a lot of detail at kpfaworker.org if you want to figure out what to do right now. Or you can just give us a call. Let's go to Oakland, my hometown. Candy, you're on the air. Good morning.
Well, sounds like we lost Candy there. Well, let's bring Candy, you with us?
I can hear you.
Okay, we're unfortunately getting the beepy tone from someone else. So, Candy, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to comment. I'm a big fan of this morning show, and I believe that you guys are at the forefront of where media needs to go. And it's really shocking that this is the decision that's been made. And I just want to thank you guys for the time and the intellectual interviews that continue on every morning and the information that gets presented on the show. I cannot believe that the quote honest to goodness programming unquote was made in reference to this morning show, and also the fact that it is a community and this is the Bay Area and it needs to stay in the Bay Area to reflect the politics and the situations that are going on here. And to think that they even want to follow this stuff from LA, it's just really disturbing, and I'm in shock, and I really feel for you guys.
And I thank you so much for your call, Candy. Because the reason I'm here, the reason I've been here for just over 3 years, is the intention of serving the community. And I have had the honor of bringing people in, artists and local organizers and thinkers and activists from the Bay Area to cover what's happening locally. I created Oakland Scene as a project to highlight and to serve specifically the people in the East Bay and to bring news and bring us together. So the morning show does that. We have an important element of that, and we're unique because there's not a lot of local coverage that you hear on the radio dial in the morning. Many times you get the national coverage, but the local coverage really matters. 510-848-4425. Amy and Brian are here on the line, and our next caller is out of San Jose. John, good morning.
John, you with us? John in San Jose.
If you just hang on a moment, this is Eileen Alfandary. We're doing a complicated two-studio production this morning, and Esther Mania, who as one of the assistant producers for the morning show, has unfortunately taken a voluntary layoff, is working hard here, and we will get this call on the air in just a moment.
All right. Thanks for that, Eileen.
And sorry, John, I hear you in the background. We're trying
Hi,
John.
Hi.
Hi. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for everybody for controlling their emotions and being so articulate and civil throughout all of the traumatic, developments. I appreciate that you guys have the executive director on, Arlene Engelhardt, and LaVarne Williams, the chief financial officer. I hope that you guys let her speak some more. And I hope that people also attend board meetings and find out more of the opposing points of view. I think that on the radio, we've only heard one side.
So this is Felipe Messina. You ran for our board. You're calling in under an assumed name. Why aren't you using your real name, Felipe?
I wanted to be anonymous. I was calling as a John Doe because I want to be anonymous. But if you want to out me, well, thank you for outing me. But please let me.
What we're trying to do today, Felipe, is get calls from people who aren't station insiders into the station. We have plenty of insiders in the station right now. So I'll thank you for your time, and we'll get ready for our next guest. We have Ian Bull standing by. Ian Bull is a social historian, the co-author of Retorts Afflicted Power, someone who's been writing recently about the implications of Pacifica's recently democratized structure and what that's resulted in today. Ian Bull, good morning, and welcome to what is perhaps the last morning show on KPFA. Ian, are you with us? Eileen, are you downstairs, and do you have Ian Bull on the line?
I am, and again, our apologies. We are doing a complicated two-studio broadcast this morning and are attempting to bring phone calls in under a procedure we don't normally use. Let me remind you, you are listening to KPFA, KPFB Berkeley, KFCF Fresno, online at kpfa.org. The morning after the entire staff of the morning show was laid off, the plan for this morning was to bring a piped-in program from our sister station, KPFK, in Los Angeles, rather than the morning show crew that you are used to hearing, and you are hearing for what may be the last day, Amy Allison and Brian Edwards-Tiegert. And, Brian, while we're getting Ian on the air, I'm throwing perhaps a curveball at you. You said in an email that I saw, and I haven't talked to you about this since I saw it, in speculating about the reason that the entire morning show staff was laid off, quote, "I've made enemies in Pacifica's famously fractious governance politics." So I guess that's the question to you, and I hope we will have Arlene Engelhardt and LaVarne Williams back on our second hour of the KPFA morning show for listeners who missed them on our first hour. Why do you think that the entire morning show staff was laid off? Again, given the fact that it's the fundraising engine of the station.
Well, I hate to speculate, but I mean, here's what we know. We know that we've been laid off out of seniority order. In other words, we're not being laid off in strict adherence with the union contract. We also know that there's not a financial basis for laying us off, as we are the station's largest fundraiser. We account for $1 out of $4 that comes in during KPFA's fund drives. We raise about 3 times what we cost, and in fact, our fundraising trend has been up over the course of the past year here on the morning show. So if this is not a result of strict adherence to KPFA's union contract, and it's not a result of some notion of financial necessity. And again, the morning show is the only show that has been singled out for involuntary layoffs at KPFA. One has to ask what other motives have come into play. Last month, well, a little over a month ago, KPFA's union, CWA Local 9415, became aware that 3 of KPFA's representatives on the Pacifica National Board had drawn up a list of staff they would like to fire, and that the names of both myself, Amy Allison, and our executive producer, Laura Privis, were on that list. One imagines that it is their politics that are prevailing behind the scenes at Pacifica. But Eileen, I do hope that you will be bringing the powers that be from Pacifica back into the conversation, as we've had several guests beating on them on in absentia for the past half hour or so. They should have a right to respond. I believe that is a question that should be put to the person who's identified herself as the decision maker at Pacifica and in these layoffs, and that is Arlene Engelhardt, Pacifica's executive director since the beginning of 2010. At this point,
and let me tell you, Brian, we are asking at this moment Arlene Engelhardt and LaVarne Williams if they would be willing to come back and speak to all of us after the at the top of the hour. As we know, many people are tuning in and out all through the morning long. Arlene and LaVarne are graciously coming back to the studios, and so we are ready to welcome them. Arlene Engelhardt, LaVarne Williams, thanks for joining us again in the KPFA studios. Let me give you a station ID. You are listening to KPFA, KPFB Berkeley, KFCF Fresno, online at kpfa.org on what may be the last morning of KPFA's morning show, and we'll ask Arlene actually to clarify whether that's in fact the case in just a moment. On the morning after the entire remaining staff of KPFA's morning show was laid off, that's executive producer Laura Privis and the co-hosts, Brian Edwards-Tiekert and Amy Allison. The other producer for the morning show, Esther Mania, has unfortunately decided to take a voluntary layoff. So, Arlene, the question to you is, why lay off the entire staff of KPFA's morning show?
Because there was, first of all, it's a seniority issue, and secondly, it's a matter of budget cuts. Layoffs are absolutely necessary. You know, if the station had followed the directive of the Pacifica National Board 2 years ago to make enough layoffs at that time in order to operate with a sustainable budget, as the other stations in the Pacifica Network at least have attempted to do, there wouldn't be this going on. But for 2 years, this station has resisted any attempts to come to a balanced budget. And so consequently, as LaVarne and I have said this morning, and as we have said on other occasions, the station lost all of its reserves, spent more than $1 million more than it brought in fiscal year 2009. And that's an audited figure. Looks like the figure for 2010 is going to be around $500,000. There is nowhere in the network that we have that kind of reserves to cover this. In September, we had to jump through hoops in order to cover the payroll for this station. You know, under federal law, you have to pay workers for the time that they have put in. If the station wants to go under, if the station wants to go bankrupt, they will keep on having a payroll that is way beyond any dollars to meet it. We don't want the people that are working for this station need their benefits. We don't want to take those benefits away. In order to keep those benefits, we have to pay the bills, and KPFA has to pay its part of the bill. Perhaps what you don't realize is that the central services figure is not to support some huge national office. We have a very, very small national staff. What it does go to support is programs like Amy Goodman on your air. And at this point, we owe Amy Goodman a considerable amount of money. It goes to support Free Speech Radio News. It goes to pay the insurance for this building, the liability insurance that we must have in order to keep operating. It goes to pay for the audit that we must have in order to obtain federal funds and in order to remain a 501c3 organization. Central services money is not supporting some highly inflated staff. And what you also may not realize is that the Pacifica Network owns the licenses and all of the property that is part of the Pacifica Network.
Brian. Arlene Engelhardt, spending on Democracy Now! From the Pacifica National Office is just over $600,000 per year. Your total budget is in excess of $2.2 million. Where does the balance get spent?
I mentioned a number of things. As I said, part of it goes for an audit. Of course, we have a small staff that is being paid out of that. Part of it goes for insurance. Part of it goes for Free Speech Radio News.
Actually, Free Speech Radio News is paid for directly by the radio stations who withhold money from our Corporation for Public Broadcasting checks.
Some of it does, but not all of it.
Arlene Engelhardt, you said KPFA is responsible for these unpaid bills. I understand your accounting is that KPFA currently owns the Pacifica National Office $150,000. The Pacifica National Office, according to you, owes Democracy Now! Over $550,000. It sounds like you have bigger problems than KPFA right now.
We've never suggested that KPFA is is the only problem, and we are working with other stations. In fact, the Washington station, we're dealing with the union, and we're in the process of making some severe cutbacks there, even though they made cutbacks 2 years ago. We're working very hard to keep them functional, to keep their programming on the air, to keep our entire network happening. We believe strongly that it is very important that we have a progressive voice in this country. And I'm sorry to say that aside from Pacifica and some of the organizations that we work with, like Democracy Now! And Free Speech Radio News, there is very little progressive media in this country. That disturbs me greatly.
I want to jump in here. Philip Muldery, who's one of the union stewards, is joining us in the studios for this discussion. One of the key issues of contention here has been whether the union contract has been violated in dealing with the layoffs. I want to let Philip weigh in here.
Yes, the union contract has been totally violated. And I'll repeat what I said in the first hour for those that weren't listening an hour ago. What, in fact, the contract lays out in time of financial crisis, when there's no choice of any other possibility of finding the money. Well, first of all, we haven't done that. We have proposed many alternatives to staff layoffs that have been rejected and ignored. So right there is a violation of the contract. We came up with savings of over $200,000 that have been ignored. Then beyond that, if you do have to have layoffs, and we've already had a round of layoffs more than 6 months ago, if you do have to have layoffs, again, you lay off positions like, program host or news reader, whatever. And then the people in those positions are entitled to bump those who are less senior, whose positions have not been laid off, if they can do that job. Well, that's not what happened here. And what happened here was, I think, a vendetta against the morning show. It is absolutely not a coincidence that the only non-voluntary layoffs that have taken place have all been on the morning show. So this is a vendetta. This is a gotcha. This is a payback. This is very obviously politically motivated. And they can talk all they want about saving money. We came up with over $200,000 of savings that they've ignored.
Now, I want to, I want to actually ask Esther Mania, who normally works behind the scenes here at KPFA as a producer for KPFA's morning show. And Arlene, she had a conversation with you yesterday about the layoffs, and I'm now putting Esther on the spot, putting you on the spot, but it's serious business here. And I'm going to ask her to get in front of the microphone I'm using now and recount for us the conversation that she had with you, and then allow you to respond. Esther? No, I'm sorry, Arlene. We're going to have Esther speak, and then you will definitely be given a chance to respond. Esther?
Arlene, you're right in front of me, so I can have this conversation with you. But when we spoke yesterday, I did inform you that I did submit for a voluntary layoff, which you apparently weren't in the know about, and you said that changes the circumstances of things, and that Laura Privis would now have a position. And when I pointed out to you that, in fact, based on our union contract, based on seniority, Brian Edwards Tickert has more seniority than Laura Privis, just to point out the facts, to which she replied, no, he is a host, not a producer. I had to point out to you, since you obviously don't know the ins and outs of what we do here on the morning show, day in and day out, that every person within the morning show wears multiple hats. As you see, I'm behind the board right now doing engineering. We do all kinds of things. So Brian Edwards Tickert is, in fact, a producer in addition to being a host. And you said, no. He's a host. And we had this back and forth.
Let's finish what I said.
My name is Esther.
Esther, I'm sorry. I also said that if he wishes to move into that kind of a position, which in my eyes is a very important position, but there's a big difference between being the on-air personality and the behind-the-scenes producer, certainly had every right to bump.
I'm sorry, but I have to
call you out. I said that yesterday to you, and I also...
You did not say that.
Called Ahmad and told him that if Laura wished to retain her position, being you were resigning, that she had every right to do so.
That I witnessed, and I will.
And I also said the other to you.
You did not say anything.
Yes, I did. Well, it's a he said, she said, and I think that makes for very bad radio.
I agree.
But I'm just on my word of honor. I am saying that that's what I said to you. Maybe you chose not to hear it. Well, you may have chosen not to hear it.
I said that. I said, what is your vision? What is your vision for the network and for Pacifica and KPFA's morning show? To which
you didn't ask me about the network. You asked me about the morning show, or at least that's the only thing I heard you ask me about.
We can go back and forth, but you said you had something in mind, and I asked you to relay that. You said you were going to be bringing up programming from KPFK, including Uprising and Sojourner Truth.
On a short-term basis.
This you said, but I said I was bothered by the lack of transparency. And you just kind of dismissed that.
Arlene Engelhardt, Brian Edwards Tiekert here. I think this gets to the heart of a question a number of us have been having in the station. It appears that in the process of this cuts, you've completely removed KPFA's local management from any decision in where the cuts will run. Last time we had you on the program, we asked you what your basis was for understanding how the station operates and who does what and who can be replaced by who. And you agreed to meet with the staff, which we presumed to mean that you would meet with the staff before you made the cuts, and then you failed to respond to emails attempting to set up a meeting from Philip Maldry and didn't agree to do such a meeting until you were on camera at a picket in front of your offices last week. That meeting,
I hadn't had any emails before that, I'm sorry, but the first email I got was on Friday.
That's totally untrue. I emailed you more than 2 weeks ago. I emailed you twice saying, have you decided that to join us? This is a total fabrication.
With Philip and Brian. Am I going to be able to...
So Arlene Engelhardt, I guess the question is, it's highly unusual for Pacifica's executive director to get involved in running station affairs at this level, particularly when that authority is normally delegated to local management because they understand how the station works. Why are you in the middle of this?
Highly unusual for a station to spend 2 years refusing to come anywhere near a balanced budget. And that's exactly what has happened here. The fiscal management has been completely irresponsible, and that's not fair to the listeners. It's not fair to the network. I'm not saying that this is the only station that has financial problems, but I'm saying that this is the only station that has made no real attempt to deal with those financial problems, that has not faced the fact that we are in a very difficult economy.
Isn't it true, Arlene Engelhardt, that KPFA's former manager was blocked from making staff reductions by the former executive director of Pacifica?
I have no idea what happened. I do know that when I came on board in December, I asked her to make cuts. I told her I would back any cuts that she chose to make, and she told me that she had changed her mind. She couldn't make the cuts that she had wanted to make. And so I said, well, if you can figure out, we have to make these cuts. And then, as you probably are well aware, there became the issue of a missing $375,000 check, which showed up in a file folder, and that became much more of an issue than the immediate issue of staff cuts. But even during that period, I talked with her about the fact that we had to go ahead with staff cuts. We had to get the level of expenses down to the level of income.
I guess my point is, if KPFA was blocked from making cuts for a year, and then you came in, and KPFA's manager was swiftly out after that, you've been nominally in charge of the station since. Isn't it a bit insincere to charge that the station hasn't made any good faith efforts to cut, particularly when your own financial statements show that this station's spending on salaries and related has dropped by 20% since the beginning of the fiscal year, of last fiscal year?
I have no idea what happened over the last year. Whether there was any blocking of making of cuts or not, that I can't speak to. I wasn't here. Since I have been here, I have been working with the station management in order to try to get cuts in place.
I'd like to jump in here. This is Eileen Alfandary, KPFA's news director. Here in the studios this morning, the last voice you just heard is that of Arlene Engelhardt, who's the executive director of Pacifica Radio, Brian Edwards Tiekert, the host, one of the co-hosts of KPFA's morning show. You've also been hearing from Phil Maldery, who is the host of the Sunday show on KPFA and one of the union stewards here at the radio station as well. Arlene, I guess a question for you. Given the dire financial straits that KPFA is in. In deciding to lay off the crew of the morning show, and which including Brian Edwards Tiekert, regular listeners to KPFA may know that besides working on the morning show, he's also responsible for the largest amount of fundraising by a single person on KPFA. He fundraises with Amy Goodman on Democracy Now! At 6 and 9. He fundraises around the clock. Did you take that into consideration, given that KPFA is facing dire financial straits, that removing the fundraising engine of the station, removing the individual who does the single largest job producing revenue for the station, will actually have exactly the opposite effect than what you're striving for?
I don't believe that in the long run it will have the opposite effect. And am I on mic now? Yeah, I guess
yes,
it is on.
Are.
I'm sorry. I wasn't getting very good sound in my headset. I don't believe that that is the long-term effect that it will have. And as I say, I was looking to preserve the people that had the most seniority. I think there was a comment made earlier this morning that you might be off the air. No one has ever suggested that, Eileen. I have worked with you. I have supported you. Even when you have gone on the news and only reported one side of things that are the opposite of what I've been talking about, I have not in any way come down on you or suggested that you be laid off. To suggest that any of this is retaliatory is absolutely not the truth.
As far as the fundraising, however, how did you factor that in? Because that's of great concern to the staff at KPFA. The morning show, I repeat, is the fundraising engine of KPFA.
And the morning show, that particular time, is the best funded period on any public or community radio station. That's a given, and I don't think that's going to change.
What are your plans for the morning show?
That we'll be talking about after they're firmed up. I don't talk about things while they're still in the planning stage.
When will you make that information public?
Within a very few days.
How long do you expect to have KPFK's morning program piped into KPFA?
No more than 10 days.
For the next 10 days?
Possibly as much as 10 days.
Have you thought about the fundraising that KPFA is actually supposed to be doing next week? Again, given that the morning show is the fundraising engine of the station, how is that going to work out with KPFA's fundraising? Some people might think that that would be actual sabotage of KPFA's fundraising efforts.
We'll work with that as we go into it.
Do you have an actual plan for that?
And at this moment, we're developing the plans.
Developing the plan right
yes,
now,
we are.
Even though you took the layoff notice action yesterday.
I think that to be discussing this on the air is not in our listeners' best interest, and I'm cutting this off at this point.
So,
LaVarne does have something she'd like to say.
Yeah, this is LaVarne. Excuse me, Eileen, but thank you for allowing me to talk again, which I have not been allowed to do, or to even respond to some of the points that have been made earlier by Larry Binsky. Also, Matthew Lazar is a supporter of the slate, of the political slate that actually supports Eileen and Brian. So, and Larry Binsky's point about, and I apologize to all listeners. He made a point, something about a fragment of listeners. Well, you know, that's an insult to all of you, the listeners who support KPFA, who give money to KPFA, and to actually dismiss listeners as a fragment is insulting to everyone on the air. And I apologize again for this programming, this basically attack on trying to do the right thing, trying to address the financial crises here at KPFA. And Brian Edwards Tiekert was a treasurer for KPFA. And 2 years ago, when the cuts were made at other stations, Brian was the treasurer of KPFA, and he was like acting treasurer for the Pacifica Foundation, and Brian actually supported. We have information, and I believe we have some information on him where he's actually demanding that these cuts were made at the other stations, and they were made, but they were not made at KPFA. So Brian also was there when the Finance Committee tried to float $1 million loan. Larry talked about a loan. They tried to float $1 million loan 2 years ago, and that was voted down. And we had to address, when I came in as CFO last January, this huge shortfall in our budget, and then and the immediate problem with the loss at KPFA of almost $1 million in 2009. And these are the things that Eileen and a different majority is on the national board. These are the problems that we have had to address. And when I say that, I can quote Brian Edwards Tinkert in a 2005 email where he said that perhaps there, we needed a strategic retreat on the LSB. This is when their majority lost the control. And Brian said, in quotes, "How do we make our enemies own the problems that are to come? Alternatively, should we be recalling LSB members, dismantling the LSB?" And this is what Brian said. And he also made a comment about how should we be handling the expiration of the union contract? Is a strike in order, or is it really a terrible idea? These are direct quotes from Brian Edwards Tinkert. And when this email surfaced and it was addressed, Brian Edwards Tinkert had the management at KPFA, had a lawyer try to determine that this was a union communication and that management should not have this. But the people who were on the distribution on this email from Brian Edwards Tinkert was the former general manager of KPFA. So how can you have a union communication? It cost the KPFA $2,700 from a lawyer to address this issue that Brian said that this was a union communication. So Brian Edwards Tinkert's position on this, in addition to the fact that his position on the morning show was removed due to seniority, and that now he's on the air, you know, basically continuing the attack on the management of the Pacifica Foundation. So this is just totally, when he says unorthodox, this is totally unorthodox that he's, and he wasn't allowed to be on the air. He basically came in and took the air because the plan was actually, and the part about bringing in KPFK programs, well, KPFA pipes in programs to KPFK. Mitch Jesrit Show, which everyone appreciates, does a very good job. That program is aired on KPFK every day. So why can't KPFK's program air on KPFA on a temporary basis or maybe long-term basis on this air? So this the whole point and the whole setup and this whole conversation, again, I apologize to the listeners. I just hope that as the first caller said when he called in, that all of these things, he feels that these things are working out, that it has to work out. The foundation has to stay whole. And the foundation cannot stay whole if KPFA lost $1 million at the end of for fiscal year ending 2009. We'll lose at least $500,000 this year. And again, the morning show has not been canceled. That's incorrect. That it's the layoffs were based on seniority, and that's what has been done. And also the question about alternative budgets and what we could do. Sustainable budgets were put forward when I was back on the LSB, and those were rejected. Instead, there were staff build up until we got to the point where we are now, where we have to, where KPFA did not participate in staff cuts two years ago.
Okay, LaVarne, thank you very much for your comments.
Let's make one more point. Just real quick.
Seconds,
this is about elections and how much elections cost. You know, the way the union install their officers are through elections, but the union members pay dues. The Pacifica Foundation install their officers through our elections. And that's the way that's our governance structure. So that will not be eliminated. The union is not going to eliminate their governance structure either. But thank you to the listeners. I apologize. Please continue to support us. As the first caller said, we will work this out. The foundation remains strong. The foundation will continue its mission.
Thank you, LaVarne. And the voice you just heard is that of LaVarne Williams. LaVarne is the chief, the CFO, the chief financial officer of Pacifica Radio. Earlier, Arlene Engelhardt, Pacifica's executive director, was here. We're going to go to Brian in just a moment. I want to let those of you just tuning in know what's happening this morning. This is Eileen Alfandary, normally bringing you the news on KPFA. This morning, the news is that the entire remaining staff of the KPFA morning show has been laid off. The plan this morning was to bring to KPFA listeners the morning show from KPFK in Los Angeles. And we've been having an open discussion. We've been taking your phoned-in comments. And, Brian, I'm going to ask you to respond to a couple of the things that LaVarn said just a moment ago.
Well, I think this gets exactly to the point you raised earlier. The question is, are these layoffs in the best financial interest of the station, or are they in compliance with the union contract, or union says they're not, or are they layoffs that are pursuing a political vendetta? And when you put that question to the chief financial officer of the Pacifica Foundation, the person who should be in a better position than anyone to speak to the financial case for the restructuring at KPFA, she launched into a five-minute set of grievances having to do not with my performance as a staff member, but her differences with my actions as an elected staff representative on KPFA's local station board. And she's clearly articulated that the cuts that are being executed at KPFA are part of a political agenda, not part of a financial agenda, because that's what she's devoted her time to. Now, many of them are gross mischaracterizations of positions I've taken. It would take me 5 to 10 minutes to go through rebutting them all, so I won't. But I think it does get down to the core of the question here. What staff are concerned about is that Pacifica's elected national board is slowly going out of control. It has made itself its own top priority. It's spending money on expensive in-person meetings, over $100,000 over the course of the past year, over $50,000 on routine legal consultations, having a lawyer sit in on their phone calls to advise them on the fine points of procedural infighting, while it's balking at paying the bills to programs like Democracy Now!, which is now $550,000 in arrears. That speaks to some horribly misplaced institutional priorities. And the concern is that just as the financial priorities of the highly factionalized Pacifica National Board are starting to dominate the institution, so the political divides and factionalism of the Pacifica National Board are starting to trickle down to the station level and steer what we're doing. So I would like to move our conversation on, bring my co-host Amy Allison back into the conversation, and return to the forum that we're trying to have with our listeners today. We'll take a quick musical break, then we'll be right back.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Hey, Father, Father, we don't need to escalate.
It's the KPFA Morning Show, what could be our last broadcast. I'm Amy Allison, along with the entire Morning Show team. And if you're just getting the news and tuning in, yesterday the Pacifica Foundation fired the entire Morning Show staff and, in effect, has ended its ability to bring you local and Bay Area and Central California coverage, local coverage that you've come to depend on. It's been my utter honor. It's been my honor to serve the community here for the last 3 years at the Morning Show. And I want to tell you, all the listeners, the folks out in the community who have valued this medium as a way to connect with each other, to bring us together, that is the true power of independent media and KPFA when we come together. If you were listening earlier this hour, you heard a lot of arguing. But the bottom line is that the best that we can be is when we come together and we see the power of telling each other our stories and telling, giving a voice to people who have no other way to talk to the public. KPFA's morning show has made that a priority. And in particular, one of the things that's been important for me personally is to reinvest a lot of the earnings that I've gotten here into developing Oakland Scene to make sure that Oakland as a community has quality local coverage and news and highlights the fantastic, creative, amazing people in my hometown. And I'm really proud to be part of that. Oakland Scene will, and OaklandScene.com will continue, even though the morning show is threatened, and I, as well as Brian Edwards-Tiekert, have both been laid off. Larry Binsky, who's been my mentor, I've worked with him at the Democratic National Convention, and I've really just so appreciated his decades of commitment to public radio, to independent media, and to KPFA. Larry's back on the line. Hey, Larry.
Larry, you still with us? Well, while we try to figure out what has happened to Larry Binsky, we'll remind you that you are listening to The Morning Show on KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, online at www.kpfa.org. This may be the last morning show on KPFA, as our entire staff was laid off by the management of Pacifica's national office yesterday.
And Brian, this is Eileen Alfandari. We're in alternate studios this morning. And what I do want to say is that it may be the last broadcast of KPFA's morning show. However, as we have heard earlier in this morning show from Christina Huggins, who's the representative of CWA local that represents the KPFA workers, and what we heard from Philip Muldery, the union steward for KPFA, is that there were, and it'll be for left up to a grievance process, but that there were violations in how the layoffs were carried out. Brian, I have quoted earlier an email of yours in which you said it seemed to be done on a politically factionalized basis. And so I think the end of the story has not yet been written.
I think that's totally totally true. And I want to remind people, if they want information about what to do right now, what positive thing that they can do, if it were for Keith Olbermann, it could work for the KPFA Morning Show. Go to kpfaworker.org, where there's more information about how to contact Pacifica officials and how to get involved in doing what's best for this station and protecting this valuable station going forward. There have been groups that have called for protest at 11 o'clock today. That's Tuesday. Today at 1929 Martin Luther King Jr. Way in downtown Berkeley, four blocks from the downtown Berkeley BART station. And we'll be there. And really, it's about how we can see ourselves, see our way through tough economic times in a very confusing political environment. And I can tell you personally, I have been focused on how we can serve the community using these airways. You may not know, but we have 60,000 watts. We are one of the largest public radio stations in the country, and we reach a third of California. So if you're in the Central Valley in Modesto, or if you're in parts of Sacramento or up in Santa Rosa, it's unusual to have that strong of a signal. It's something to protect. But to be able to also have local coverage is a key component of our success, our connection with the community and with each other. Larry Binsky's back on the line. Hey, Larry. Good to have you.
Hi, Amy. Hi, Brian.
And you were with us earlier in the hour. You had a chance to listen in on what the Pacifica Foundation officials had to say. Your comments.
Well, actually, I didn't. I haven't heard the last half hour. I'm actually frantically trying to do what I do, one of the things I do in life, and so I've been away. But one of the things I wanted to come back in and say, Amy, if this is in fact the last morning show, which would be a great tragedy, is that one of the reasons I felt okay, somewhat okay, about leaving 3.5 years ago was that I had worked in the past few years before I left with you and with Brian. It was a great joy for me to be a co-anchor with you in various broadcasts, including the Democratic National Convention,
yeah,
with Sonali Kohatkar, with Deepa Fernandez from WBAI New York, and to work with Brian and see him work in the newsroom and have him pick my brain and pirate my Rolodex from time to time and see him produce behind the scenes. I felt that the organization was growing a new generation of people, which inevitably had to happen, and that there were some really good folks like yourselves coming up. Now to have you axed seems to me like basically chopping off a tree at its roots. And if listeners appreciate what I did, the remaining listeners who may remember me, you will certainly appreciate what these two people have been doing since I left, and indeed before I left. This organization, if it's going to survive, has got to develop the kind of talent that we have a very hard time attracting and an even harder time keeping because of all the internal conflicts and the pressures and the lack of resources and the low pay and the long hours. Those of us who work in a place like this do it because we are idealists and we believe in the mission and we believe we can fulfill the mission. Right now, that mission is more necessary than ever. I was saying this last hour, but I know morning radio is such that not everybody listens for 2 hours in a row.
Right.
We're at a political moment right now that is critical and crucial to our nation's future. The rise of the right wing, as we've seen in the recent election. KPFA and Pacifica have to be there and grow stronger, not weaker, in order to give people a voice to try to respond to this and to build alternative institutions.
Well, one of the things, Larry, that both Brian and I have tried to do over the last few years is to bring technology into what we do with radio, to evolve how we bring media to people, to really match how people are consuming their news and information. We had difficulty internally because there wasn't the resources and support to do that. OaklandScene.com was created out of that because we created a Facebook group, a Twitter, and a group blog that supplemented radio broadcasts. Brian's had innovative ideas of his own. I think that's also another area that KPFA and the Pacifica Radio really is challenged with. It hasn't done the work that it needs to be relevant for the future.
Completely, you're absolutely right, completely missed the boat since the uprising 10 years ago when we won back control of the station. If you look at the Pacifica.org webpage, for example, today, what's the featured story? It's the 60th anniversary of Pacifica, which took place a year and a half ago. They don't even maintain their own website, much less have streaming video, much less have interactive chat rooms, much less have any of the things that the progressive modern media determines an audience by.
Yeah, and we have KPFA doesn't have a webmaster. It's important to note that.
It's insane. You know. It's completely insane. It's led to the further weakening of the organization. It's another battle which I fought and you fought internally, and we didn't get anywhere with previous executive directors and station managers. And now we've got what we've got, a really severely reduced audience, which with the axing of the morning show will be reduced even further, which leads to a descent in fundraising, and then management saying, well, we don't have any money, so we got to lay off more people. Pacifica and KPFA started in two rooms in a shabby office building on University Avenue, which is still there in downtown Berkeley. If listeners want to see it return to that status, then they can sit still for what's happening to you guys right now. It will be reduced to an extremely, even more marginalized status than it has right now, with a shrunken audience, lack of resources to produce the kind of programs that people will listen to, et cetera, et cetera. And it's tragic that this would happen at this point in our history.
It is a tragedy.
And this is Eileen Alfandary in the downstairs on-air studios. We're doing a two-studio broadcast this morning. And Amy, Brian, and Larry, we have listeners who have been stacking up wanting to weigh in, ask questions. Let's go to some listeners.
That's right. Jack in San Francisco. Jack, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. But just a couple comments and then a question. I'm really bummed about what's going on because I've been supporting the station for a while, you know, helping out when I can a couple times a year and even work in the phone room. But it seems to me that Pacifica, the bureaucracy, is going down the road that a lot of bureaucracies do and caring more about its own survival and kind of not really remembering why it's there and what it's about. I'm also wondering, this lady who defended her $90,000 salary. You know, if she's so fond of volunteerism, why doesn't she kick back half of that for a year or two and, you know, put some time in the phone rooms or something? And my last question is that those of us who pledge the station on a regular basis, is there any way going forward that we could make sure our pledges are specifically allocated to KPFA and not to the Pacifica Network? And thank you.
Thank you so much for your call, Jack. Brian, I know that some people are contacting KPFAworker.org and donating there as a possible matching fund for future fundraising drives, and that's one thing that some listeners are doing. As it is right now, the question that you ask is a good one. How do you support this, your local radio station that serves the community, and voice your protest using your dollars against what Pacifica Foundation is doing? I don't have a good answer for that, Brian.
Well, I think when you give money to a nonprofit, you can attach conditions to it, and then the nonprofit can choose whether to accept those conditions or reject the gift. You would have to call KPFA directly during business hours to see if you could work that out at 510-848-6767. Normally, the pledges we receive during Fund Drive, 19.5% of what comes in goes out to Pacifica's national operation, which is, by the way, a historic high. When Larry Bensky challenged the Pacifica National Board 10 years ago during the Great Pacifica Civil War, he was complaining that the rate at which we were levied had accelerated to 17%.
Well, go to KPFA.worker. We're going to keep you in touch with those issues. Your dollars do matter as listeners. You matter. The community matters. This is why we're here, is to serve the community.
And, Amy, let's hear from some more of the KPFA's listeners. And just a quick correction, it's KPFAworker.org is the website where you can get more information from the viewpoint of those of us who work here.
That's great.
And
in San Francisco,
also a rally that's planned for 11 a.m. outside the KPFA studios, 1929 Martin Luther King Jr. Way today. And I understand that Susan from San Francisco is standing by.
Good morning, Susan. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. And as a listener, I feel like I've just been laid off by Arlene Engelhardt. And if she thinks that I would rather have piped in programming from Los Angeles than this open forum that allows me to speak, then Arlene Engelhardt is not worth her $90,000 a year salary. What the heck is going on? We're being ripped off. And I really get that this is not, that I'm being lied to, and it is not budgetary, it is political. And I'm afraid that other vital programs, such as Flashpoints, Hard Knock Radio, may be receiving the layoff notices next, and this is budgetary sabotage. If she's doing this before fundraising, and your program is a cash cow, as is Flashpoints, which has been cut as well. One of their most valued programmers has been cut, and I feel like I'm being laid off, and I don't know, I'd like to deliver a message to Arlene Engelhardt. You're fired. You know, this $90,000 and your lawyers, your legal fees and your illegal contracts, this is absolutely illegal. So, and Lou Hill would be turning in his grave. He would have turned the channel not on this open forum, but he would have turned it on some of the other bad management mistakes. So thank you for allowing this listener to get in. And how dare they say that, you know, Laverne Williams and Arlene Engelhardt say that it's unfair to the listeners to have this, that this is bad radio. Piping in from a different area, that's bad radio. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Susan. We really appreciate it. And again, you can go to kpfaworker.org to find out how to contact the Pacifica Foundation officials who were behind the layoffs laying off the staff of the morning show.
And Amy, I understand we have another caller on the line, Mark from Oakland.
Hello. Okay, so I have a few items, and I'll try to be concise. First of all, I want to send a lot of love and solidarity to the morning show staff. I love
Thank you.
You guys. I love the work you guys do. And
Thank you so much.
I also want to I also want to echo the sentiment by another caller, and essentially say that defeat is only momentary. You know, I give about $36 a month that comes out of my bank account directly because of the programming that you guys have done. And during your fund drives, I love the dialogue. I love the guests and the books and the DVDs, et cetera. Thirdly, the executive staff, I don't know if they're board members, the two ladies who were on there earlier, they sound completely incompetent, and I wouldn't trust any of their motives. Just considering the history of KPFA and what KPFA is all about, I can't see how, in good conscience, they can actually stand up there and say that they're looking out for the best interests of the station. And I just want to know, I want to apologize to you guys. I've been a backseat listener. I've given money. I haven't voted. And this just makes me feel like I should have been way more involved with the politics, the local station board, what have you. You know, the good thing is I may just become more involved because of this.
Well, I want to thank you so much for calling and sharing your good spirits. And it's not too late. KPFAWorker.org has ways that you and everyone can contact Eileen and other members of the Pacifica Foundation staff. There's a protest scheduled for 11 a.m. So it's the beginning of the story, just as it's the beginning of a series of cuts. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who sent me messages on Facebook this morning, texts, emails.
And
it was very beautiful. I really appreciate people in the community reaching out and saying how much they appreciate our work here on the morning show, because it is about serving the community. I know we have more people, Eileen, that we want to get on the air, but I wanted to make sure and express my appreciation for that.
Thanks, Amy. Again, summing up what's happening here very briefly. You are listening to The Morning Show on KPFA, KPFA or KPFB Berkeley, KFCF Fresno, online at kpfa.org. The entire remaining staff of KPFA's Morning Show has received layoffs. The Pacifica Executive Director, Arlene Engelhardt's plan for today, and she told us a few minutes ago, for perhaps 10 days or so, is to bring, instead of KPFA's morning show, morning programming piped in from Los Angeles. Philip Muldery, who's a union steward here at KPFA, is joining us in the studios. And I guess, Philip, the question is this a fait accompli?
Well, no, it is definitely not a fait accompli. This is the beginning of an ongoing struggle. The union is absolutely bound and determined to enforce the contract, which was totally violated in this layoff. And we are militant about this. I mean, this is clearly a political hit, and it is not based on seniority. It is based on an effort to get rid of a program that is probably the most essential locally produced program around. I also want to reflect on something that was said earlier this hour by Arlene Engelhardt, that I had never contacted her for the purpose of meeting with the KPFA staff. In the interim, I went and searched my sent emails and found that on Tuesday, October 26th, I emailed Arlene asking her to meet with the staff to discuss the financial shortfall here at KPFA. She never responded to that request. That was, again, October 26th, more than 2 weeks ago. She flatly denied that email had been sent, and I want her to retract that. I've sent her an email requesting that retraction.
Okay, well, we're going to continue on with KPFA listeners. Up next, we have Chuck of San Jose. Chuck?
Good morning, Chuck. So we're getting Chuck on the line. The number's 510-848-4425 in the last few minutes.
And it looks like perhaps Chuck has dropped off.
Okay.
We next have Ted of Fresno.
Ted, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm shocked. I tuned in for the morning show this morning. I've been a listener for 4 or 5 months. We're down, and I'm in the Fresno area. You know, Brian Edwards Tekert, the conversations with the Economist. I don't know anybody that I've ever heard on radio and NPR and anything that has the intelligent interjections that you have when you're interviewing Robert Reich. I'm shocked. I became a supporter of the radio station at the last fund drive, and I want to know how I can get my money back. I mean, I kicked in support, and I became a supporter, and I became a supporter because of the morning show. After the interview with Pacifica management last week or 2 weeks ago, I went to the Pacifica website. I tried to download some of the audited financial statements. I tried to look into what was going on. Nothing works on the website. I couldn't get any information. I sent them an email. Nothing works and I listened to what, you know, the financial person said earlier today. It was obvious that she had an axe to grind regarding Brian. She's been there for 9 months. They've been losing $1 million. And so 9 months down the road, she does these changes. She violates the union contract. She gets rid of the biggest show on the station. I mean, I'm beside myself. And how do I get?
Sounds like you may have just dropped. Listen, on the question of getting in touch with people at Pacifica, there's information on how to do that at a website our union has put up called kpfaworker.org. In terms of what to do with your donation, if you need to change your status as a donor, you can call KPFA's main switchboard and ask for the subscriptions department. You'll have to wait till business hours start in about 20 minutes. And the phone number there is 510-848-6767. KPFA staff, by the way, are not calling for donors to abandon KPFA. I feel, even though I may not necessarily be working on the morning show anymore, that this is still a very important institution. More importantly, a lot of my coworkers here at KPFA do depend on the donations that come in to keep them employed. Some of us are looking at this attack on the morning show as an attempt to sabotage fundraising and in turn go after other staff positions that will become unaffordable when the fundraising drops. I don't know if there are some innovative fundraising strategies we can use to show our support, our opposition to some things that are going on here at KPFA and still keep the station afloat, but we will be exploring that. And again, updates will be online at www.kpfaworker.org.
So this is Eileen Alfandari. Let me tell you where we're going next. We have one more call, Tico of Oakland, and then Arlene Engelhardt, Pacifica's executive director, has rejoined us in the KPFA studio. So, Tico, let's hear from you.
Hi, good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for letting me participate in this forum. I think it's really essential to KPFA's mission that you're actually doing this. Having participated in the LSB process and been an elected representative for KPFA, I've seen a lot of things that go on behind the scenes, and it really drove me crazy. I know LaVarne Williams. I don't know Arlene. I'm very curious. I'd love to hear Arlene describe her involvement in Pacifica, KPFA, any of the other stations, because I get the sense she doesn't have any idea what's going on. I know that the process is super politicized, and there's tons of axe grinding going on. And
well, Tico, let's actually let Arlene in, and we'll keep you up on the line. And so, Arlene, Tico has a question for you here.
Now, number one, these are not political decisions. They're based upon the union contract. Would you let me finish speaking? It's not good radio for two of us to be talking at once. I'll let you have the air back in just a second.
Thank you.
I would like to correct a couple of things that have been said. One is that we didn't meet with the union. I did meet with the union. I can't remember the exact date, maybe 2 weeks ago, and I did take their suggestions. In fact, I took their suggestions to the National Finance Committee, all of them. At that point, I even supported the 1% cut in central services because we do share this building, even though Pacifica owns it. The difference between the situation here and at KPFK is that at KPFK, the station pays for the janitorial and maintenance services of the entire building, including the section that's occupied by the archives. They provide the receptionist and the phone service for the entire building, including the archives. They have to meet outside the building because of the space that is occupied by the archives, so they have to pay additional rent for another facility. And they also pay for the total insurance, upkeep and janitorial, I think I said that, and all the utilities, electric, etc. We pay those separately here. KPFA does not pay any of those expenses for the national office. So there is a major difference in the way the archives are in the same building as KPFK and the station here.
Tico had actually wanted to ask you a question, so let's get him back in and see if that was responsive to what his question was. Tico?
Thank you so much. First, I just have to comment, I know LaVarne Williams. She doesn't do anything that's not politically motivated. I don't think she's really qualified to be the CFO. But separate from that, I would really like it if, Arlene, if you would answer, what's your, I don't get any sense that you know anything about KPFA, about Pacifica. I question your qualifications. I'd like to know what involvement you have in community radio and what makes you qualified to make these decisions.
Harley, first of all, I have a 20-year history with a community radio station where I was a programmer, chair of the board, chair of the volunteer committee, helped build a new facility for the station, and while that station is not quite as large as KPFA, it is as large as some of the other Pacifica
and
stations.
And that's WMNF in Tampa.
That's WMNF in Tampa. That 20-year history, during that period of time, I supported our station manager at that time, I'm sorry, I've lost my train of thought, in being the first affiliate representative to the Pacifica board and worked with her in that role. She was very active. We were both following both the struggles of 1999, the struggles in New York of 2001. So, yes, I've had a lot of background with Pacifica and what's going on here, a lot of background with community radio. I also have a strong management background with a multimedia publishing company, and I certainly have a sense of I have not been an integral part of any of the Pacifica stations. I have not been a programmer. I have not been a staff member at any of the stations, and perhaps that's one of the benefits that I bring because I am able to look at it from a more objective point of view.
Arlene, let's take a minute. We have a caller.
I want to ask a follow-up question about Arlene's experience at WMNF.
If you can, very quickly, we have a caller from Florida who'd like to join in. But go ahead, Brian.
Arlene, I pulled financial statements for your old radio station, which is a wonderful community radio station, WMNF in Tampa, Florida. Its budget size appears to be about half of KPFA's.
That's about right.
I was surprised to hear from its general manager that WMNF pays for Democracy Now! And Free Speech Radio News less than $30,000 combined. And you cite those as the principal services KPFA gets from the Pacifica National Office, yet in this budget year, the total amount of money you're asking to be given to Pacifica through the levy, withholdings you make from our checks from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and catch-up payments is $810,000. It sounds like you're asking KPFA to operate on a very different business model in terms of national overhead than the radio station that you're
from. Actually, we're going by the bylaws, and I don't know where you're getting that $800-and-some-thousand-dollar figure.
I got it from the budget.
The central services figure for this past year is $59,000 or $39,000. KPFA.
Well, we are not going to resolve the discrepancy, whether it's 800,000 or 500,000 here in the next few minutes.
Well, that is a rather considerable
discrepancy. So let's actually bring in one more call here. Kyle from Florida. Go ahead, Kyle. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm a former Bay Area resident, and I can tell you that out here in Florida, there is absolutely no progressive radio, and I find this conversation highly valuable. I must say that I am with the other callers who have been shocked by the precipitous layoff of Brian and Amy. I also agree with Larry Bansky that there are that it certainly looks, it doesn't pass the smell test, this firing or layoff. I have two new things to bring to the table. Is it possible, and I put this out there to everybody listening, is it possible that KPFA could, in the light of the fact that this is the second time this has happened in the last 10 years, that there's interference from Pacifica, is it possible that KPFA could buy itself
That is to say, become independent of Pacifica and become a Bay Area radio station that was dealing with Bay Area issues for and by Bay Area people. The second thought that I have is, if that is not possible, is there not a savior out there listening who, in the very rich area, still, despite the economic problems of the economy right now, is there not someone out there who can step up in tech, in entertainment, whatever, who can pay off this rather piddling, and it doesn't seem piddling to if you don't have it, but $1.5 million is actually nothing for a resource like KPFA. And I would suggest that to somebody out there who has a lot of money and who values this station, that maybe they could step up, pay off this $1.5 million, and then maybe we can start having a conversation that isn't based on we have to fire everybody because we don't have a $1.5 million.
I want to thank you for your call. We are just about out of time. Arlene, I'm going to be able to give you 30 more seconds, okay. So please go ahead.
Kyle, I'd just like to know, where do you live? What part of Florida?
I'm sorry. We've cut Kyle off. We're just about out of time.
I just want to say that there is progressive radio in Tampa, Florida, and I'm assuming that Kyle is probably down in South Florida where I lived, and he's right. It's a radio wasteland. That is one of the benefits of Pacifica, and we certainly want it to continue. If there's an angel out there that could cover this deficit and put this station into a operating in the black, that would make me extremely happy. I would love to see every person here keep their jobs. I would love to see as many people as possible in this country back to work. I am distressed by the situation in the country, and I think that what's happening at Pacifica and particularly at KPFA reflects some of that.
Thank you very much. That's Arlene Engelhardt. Brian and Amy, we've got just under 2 minutes left.
And I just want to thank everyone, the community, for listening. We've built quite a bit of an audience the time that we've been here over the last 3 years, both with Philip Muldery and Brian Edwards-Tiegert coming in over this last year. People can stay in touch with what is happening at kpfaworker.org, where there are specific actions. 11 o'clock today at 1929 Martin Luther King Jr. Way in Berkeley is where the community and some groups have gathered or are calling for a protest to protest these cuts. People can stay in touch with me via Facebook. My name is spelled A-I-M-E-E, Allison, and amyallison.org. It's been a pleasure and an honor to serve the community this way.
And such a pleasure to hear from our listeners as well. That's one of the intense pleasures I've had working on the morning show, the smart questions and insightful comments we get every time we open our phone lines. Thank you so much to those of you who've been here with us during our tenure. A big thanks to our executive producer, Laura Privis, our
thank
producer,
so
Esther Mania, Eileen Alfandari, who was pulling double duty as a newscaster and referee during today's highly unorthodox broadcast of the morning show. If you want to send us an email for now, we still get email at morningshow@kpfa.org.
But most of all, thank you, the community. We can do and we will do better.
And we've got about 40 seconds left until Democracy Now! Comes up here at KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, or online at www.kpfa.org. And we will be posting updates on the status of labor disputes at KPFA online at kpfaworker.org. The paid staff of KPFA are affiliated with Communications Workers of America, Local 9415. That's CWA, Local 9415. A big thanks to them for all the help they've been to us in this crisis. And a big thanks to those of you who've been with us for so many years. Democracy Now! Is next.